lot of my job is education. I think that's kind of where it boils down to, because a lot of times it's educating potential venues about the product, and then they go, oh, you know, I think I would like to try that, and I try them on, and either they love it or they don't. And I really have never had anyone that just does not love something. It's just like, well, you know, it's good. Which, you know, I try and, before I work with someone, I try and vet their products and make sure it is good quality product, because anyone that I work with, I would hate for a subpar product to bring the rest of the group down.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 93, with the founder of Monon Beverage Brokers, Sean Webster.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, JC Preston, and co-host with me again with this session is President of Ascension Mentorship, Albert Winks. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people create their own personal freedom. And in this podcast released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Today's guest is actually a returning guest, which that would mean that this is a silver edition. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, especially since the early days, you might have realized a few things. And one of the things that, you know, especially back then, is that I had to make do with what I had available to me. And, you know, this is true for any creative, but, you know, I had to make do with what the podcasting equipment I had available, my guests, and even my co-hosts. And, you know, my equipment was basically gaming gear. My guests were folks who were just starting out in their creative journey and people that I was meeting in Fizzle at the time. And my co-hosts, John and Brian, were both friends who were trying to figure out what their next step in life was. And so it wasn't that hard for me to persuade them to be co-hosts, because they were just, you know, it's like, oh, sure, let's try out a podcast and see how that goes. And while today's version is still, you know, in the same vein of where the show started, it's definitely grown. And, you know, I'm proud to say that today's guest, who was an early guest of the show, has grown as well. In fact, very well. And, you know, as long as I've known Sean, he's been a people person. You know, he was a bartender when I first got to know him. And then later, as we got to hear in session four, he got into sales. And today he's, you know, using both of these skill sets to do exactly what he does as the founder of Monon Beverage Brokers. And, you know, you can tell with him, especially, that his geek, his inner geek is, you know, we talk about geek in the intro of the show there. You know, his geek is in the spirits industry, and he's a really great fit for it. You know, he's a great example of how you can practically take anything you have an interest in and, you know, make it into a business in some way. And along with the huge growth of the craft brewing scene here in Indiana, he's timed his start just right. I mean, couldn't have done it any better. And what you'll find out is that there's a huge need for what he does in the show. And, you know, it's really I would say that it's still the Wild West when it comes to this industry here in the state and probably across the country. So, you know, if what he does sounds of interest to you, there might be actually a little bit of a niche there. In today's session, Albert and I talked to Sean about how he's been able to take his skill set and build his company around it, how he identifies as a mixologist versus, say, a regular bartender, and what the working process of Monon Beverage is, and how his core values fits into his business daily routine. You know, there's a lot of talk about beer in this one. Yes, I'll give you that. However, I think you're also going to get a lot of good advice on how you can build relationships with those around you to build something even better than you originally thought it was going to be. You know, and that result is exactly what's going on with Ascension and why Sean is a member. You know, he gets it. You don't need to look at everyone else as competition, or, well, you know, they're not your kind of client, so they're not needed. In fact, if you do learn someone is in competition with you, you might even consider them as someone that brings credibility to what you're already doing, or, you know, make them part of your extended team. You know, maybe you guys do similar things, but you have different ideal clients. Just some things to consider. But before we dive into the conversation with Sean, just want to remind you guys about ClickFunnels. And if you've been following along on the blog, you guys know that I'm starting to experiment with building sales funnels. And, you know, I'm starting to find out that with my technical background, you know, this is something that I can surely help people with myself. And, you know, there's multiple ways to build them. And usually when with a sales funnel, there's three key parts. There's a landing page. You know, this is where the person goes to when they click an ad or a link for a product. And, you know, many people could call it a product page. Two, there's an autoresponder, and this captures emails for continued engagement. And three, there's a shopping cart so that the customer can make a purchase online. And most of the time, you have to get these things separately. You know, often going above $120 or more per month for all of them based on all the bells and whistles you get with each product. And what's great about ClickFunnels is that all these things are under one roof, which makes it less expensive for the basic option. And because they're all under one roof, you don't have to worry about integrating them all together like you would with other solutions. And in fact, a lot of it is just simple dragging and dropping. And if you're making a sales funnel for yourself, ClickFunnels is something that I highly recommend you check out. And if you want to try it out, you can do so for 14 days by going to newinceptions.com/clickfunnels. And also, if you'd like to find out about all their products featured in the AOL podcast, feel free to check them all out at newinceptions.com/resources. Okay, so show notes for this episode can be found at newinceptions.com/93. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to another session with Albert Winks and myself. How you doing today, Albert?
Doing great. Yourself?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Can't complain. I mean, another Friday and about to go out and do some things for the weekend. But yeah, a lot of different things going on. But you know, one of the things that's great is that we every once in a while have a chance to talk with local friends here in Indy. And yeah, actually, today's guest is a dude by the name of Sean Webster, and this is actually Sean's Silver Edition. And what a Silver Edition is the second time that they're on the show. And really what we're doing this time is just kind of catching up, getting to see what all he's been doing. If you want to find out what his background is and, you know, what all that stuff that we normally cover when we're going through first editions with people, you can go check that out on the first interview of his, which was all the way back in session 4 of the show. But since then, he's actually started a company called the Monon Beverage Brokers. And, you know, I've personally known him for a few years now as a triathlete, and you can find out more about that again in session 4. But his career in the Indiana adult beverage world is definitely blossoming. And that's part of the reason I wanted to have him on today's show. So yeah, we're going to discuss that a bit today and the progress that he's made in his own business and everything that's gone into, you know, actually starting that. So again, today's guest is no other than Sean Webster. And Sean, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, total pleasure. And, you know, a lot has definitely changed since the first time you were on. Brian and John, who were my original co-hosts, have gone on to do other things. John is working for like JP Morgan, one of those big financial companies Columbus. Yeah. And then Brian has gone into like his professional thing now is making sales funnels for people, which is pretty lucrative. And I'm kind of experimenting that myself. But yeah, we got Al on here instead, and things are moving along for both of us, and really excited to find out more about what all you're up to and the progress you've made. So, you know, you've always seemed to be a pretty busy guy. And in our first conversation, we spoke to you about how to balance life and work. And that was pretty much the antithesis. Is that a word?
Antithesis.
Yeah.
I guess the whole subject of what that conversation was about. And, you know, again, that was session 4. And I just this week just released 88. So a lot of things have changed. That's a big gap there.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So how are things working out for you, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm well. There's so much going on. It's all good stuff. So last time we talked, like, I'm fresh out of college. I was working for a People's Brewing Company. And I think it was a really big transition part of my life. And like, ever since then, like, my life's been in this weird, like, constant transition, which is good transition. But, I worked for them for a while, and I did sales and marketing. And then I left them because I had the opportunity to become director of operations for a brewery and winery. I learned a lot what to do for like behind the scenes stuff, and learned what not to do. So there's always good in everything. But that kind of helped me get started on what I'm doing now with Monon Beverage Brokers. So I got to see there was a big need in this industry of beer, wine, spirits, and non-alcoholic beverages that a lot of people make a really solid product, and not a lot of them could tell their story. And, you know, owners are so busy producing the product or doing a daytime job to support their business until they get going and make it big, that, you know, there was opportunity for something, and I wasn't sure what it was at the time, but, you know, mm-hmm. It started to slowly develop over time. I was at a bar one night that had 126 draft lines, and I was talking to the buyer, and I was like, hey, if you knew half the people here, would you buy more beer from them? And he was like, well, yeah, half of what I buy is because I know the people, more than half, in fact. I was like, okay, there might be something here. So right. That's kind of what started Monon, is just that there was an opportunity. No one else was doing it at the time, whatever it was that I was looking at in Indiana. So it was a really tough, like, there was no precedent before me. It was, you know, let me figure out how to do it. And I guess a few years ago, there was a gentleman that closed his broker business, but he was doing beer before me, and I could never track him down. So mystery beer broker, if you listen to this podcast, get at me. Yeah. So it was a really cool thing. And I think, like, all my experiences out of college with, you know, doing sales and marketing for Peoples, and then director of operations after that for a different brewery and winery, it was, it all kind of led me to be somewhat successful where I'm at now. And, you know, it's been good. It's been really good. It's fun. And I get to work with a lot of fun people, and I actually hired someone this month. So that was kind of like never in the plan to hire someone. I hit the ground running in October of 2016. So this is still a relatively new company as well. In October, I started with two producers, Moonlight Meadery out of New Hampshire, and then Indiana Whiskey out of South Bend. And I've been adding slowly since, and it got to the point where more people wanted to work with me than what I felt comfortable working with individually. So I looked at all my previous networks and industry connections, and I interviewed even people I didn't know, and I came across a buddy of mine that was looking to move on and try and do sales, and then enter Scott Hardwick of Monon Beverage in 19 days ago.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's kind of cool that you bring that up, because one of the things that Al talks about in Ascension all the time is that there are people, you're either focused in your craft or you're focused in your, you know, your marketing and getting the word out, because you can't really actively do both. And it sounds like to me that the niche that you're filling is, again, addressing the getting to know. I mean, these guys that are making beer, a lot of them, what I've found out even is that they have that engineering mind, right? A lot of engineers go into beer brewery, brewing beer. And especially like those craft beers that, you know, people are like making out of their houses and things like that. So I can imagine
that these larger scale ones, a lot of them have that kind of very focused on their craft sort of thing and making that perfect. So I can see where you, where you're a natural, you know, relationship builder and marketer, and where you've done all this stuff previously, how that can come into play.
Yeah, it's just knowing your strengths at the end of the day. I mean, a lot of these breweries and distilleries and even the meadery that I work with, you know, they're good at what they're good at. I work with non-alcoholic people like, Hoosier Mama or Circle City Kombucha. Like, these people are phenomenal at production, but they're stretched thin. So when they have to look at, you know, should I go produce another batch or should I try and go and do sales, you know, their time is best spent producing the product. And then, you know, specialization comes in where that's my wheelhouse, I guess. You know, I do in sales events and distribution management. It's just something I've been doing for a while now, and I'm pretty good at it, and relationship building goes with hand in hand with that. So yeah, it works out well that way.
Good deal. And then as part of that, you know, you had mentioned that you had on the pre-show that you'd been on several podcasts recently. I mean, how's that been getting around to various shows here in town in Indiana? And I mean, how does that feel for you? Is it common now? And as a guest, what's your take on the podcasting world?
I love it. It's a fun thing for me to get out and talk about who I work with. There's so many cool producers I get to work with, and, you know, being able to tell their story is a fun thing for me. I love talking about myself too, so don't get me wrong, but I think there are some producers I work with that have more interesting stories than I do, like Scarlet Lane out of McCordsville. The head brewer and owner is a woman, and that's an uncommon thing, I think, in this industry, where it's a mostly male-dominated industry when it comes to the brewers, and it's the brewers that have the big beards. And then, you know, Elise comes in at Scarlet Lane, and it's like, cool, a lady-owned and operated. She's brewing the beer. She's doing good stuff in the market. So, you know, being able to go out and tell stories like that, or, you know, some of the podcasts just come from, like, industry connections, and then you make friends with them like we are, and then follow-up stories are like they see I'm doing something new through my social media, and they go, hey, come on the podcast, let's talk about that, or let's drink some beer together and just talk about it and record it, and that's a show. And it becomes it's a fun thing. Every podcast is different, I think, and that's what's kind of interesting. Like, you know, the one I did earlier this week with Indiana on Tap, it's a beer-based podcast, and so being able to go on there and, you know, talk with them, and I'd been on their show previously too, so it was kind of a follow-up one, except a little different, more beer oriented at the end of the day. But yeah, just going out talking to people, I think that's a fun thing, whether it's, you know, how we record or in person and being video recorded. I'm more like self-conscious though when there's a camera on me, so
you're safe today, huh?
Oh, I'm super safe. This is great. This is just my voice, and yeah. You know, my voice tracks well, so that's a good thing. But yeah, whenever I'm on camera for the podcast, like, I feel like Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights, where I'm like, oh, what do I do with my hands? And and so it's one of those fun things. But yeah, it's everyone's different, and all the podcast personalities are interesting, where, you know, some are more like, let's drink beer and talk beer, and then some's let's talk producer or talk about the producers themselves, and some are let's talk about me, and it's like, oh, you know, I'd rather talk about the people I work with, but I'll talk about me some too.
Yeah. Right. So what are some of the topics that, I mean, you guys will discuss on beer? Because it seems to me, and I don't listen to any of this, so that's why I'm asking, what are some of the kind of things that you guys discuss on a beer podcast show?
There's a lot of trendy styles in beers, and, you know, what's coming out, or, you know, earlier this week it was, Brewlink is out of Plainfield, and I actually just started working with them 19 days ago as well. And that's more Scott's lead point, but, Brewlink, I've always been attracted to their brand because they make an ivory stout. And it's what it sounds like. So, you know, when you look at a normal stout, it's dark. You can't see through it. It looks like coffee. This ivory stout, however, it is see-through. It looks like a pilsner. So you look at it.
There is another one that I ran across that was made by, like this Czech. Oh, crap. Let me find that.
I'll let you struggle. I know who it is.
Keep flailing around. You'll make.
Yeah, it has the question mark. Has the question mark on it.
That's Evil Check is who you're looking for, and the beer is Bigsby. So yes,
Bigsby. Yeah.
I want to see you flail a little bit.
Yeah.
there's really not many of them. Ivory Stout is the only year round one that I know of. To be fair, so I'm sure there may be another one. Locally, I'm pretty sure it's the only Indiana one year round. But it's a really just interesting beer, and that's kind of what the start of the previous podcast that I was on with another group. You know, we started talking about it, and it's like, you know, cool. You look at it, it's a pilsner, and then you smell it, and you go, what's happening here? And it smells like vanilla and cocoa nibs and coffee, and then you taste it, and you're like, whoa, it looks like it's going to be light. And then the nose, the taste, the mouthfeel, all these things together, and it's like, oh, man, I don't know what to think, because I'm looking at it and I think I'm going to taste one thing, and then when I taste it, it's not that thing, and it's awesome. And yeah, it's a really cool thing. So like, some of these podcasts are more beer oriented, trend of industries, you know, and even I think playing catch up, just my business is still pretty interesting to a lot of people, just since no one else is doing it. And a lot of times when I first meet a bar or restaurant or whomever I'm trying to work with, it's a lot of explaining, because it's like, cool, I understand what distributors are. And it's like, well, I'm not a distributor. I'm a middleman's middleman, is how I've kind of described Monon for a long time. And, you know, me just being a direct connection to the breweries, distilleries, even the non-alcoholics, and the meadery too. It's one of those fun things where it's like, cool, now all these people that serve these kind of products at least know somebody directly connected to the producer, and I can speak intelligently about the products. And, you know, most times I've been able to see the facility or even produce the product with the producers, which is always a really fun thing for me, going out and making the beer, whatever it may be.
Right. Right. When you were back in Muncie, you were a bartender. And the thing is that I went to bartending school when I was 21, the Midwest Bartenders Academy here. And town. And I got to tell you that once you have that training or that feel, right, you become more of a mixologist, and you're really more interested you kind of, like, I don't know if you graduate or you just move on past the whole drinking beer to get drunk thing, because you really you're really becoming more interested in what different things taste like at that point. And you were even telling me at the beginning that, or again at the pre-show, that, you know, you'll be the type of person that just appreciates things more for its taste than to get hammered, so to speak.
Right? Yeah, it's quality over quantity. And yeah, you do look at things at more of an educational standpoint at some point when you're drinking, you know, even whether it's you're drinking recreationally or, you know, business-wise. For me, like, I look at things a lot more in depth now. And I think it's a big thing too when I meet new potential brewers or distillers or even like current ones. If there's something off about a beer, I want to be able to speak intelligently and tell them it's wrong, not just I don't like it. I think that's the thing that like bothers me most in this industry, is when someone goes, that's a bad beer. Well, why is it a bad beer? You know, is it bad because it's structurally it's wrong? Is it bad because you just don't like the style? Why is it bad? You know, you have to be a little constructive about it. And, you know, if someone tells me something's bad and then they go further and say, you know, I taste acetaldehyde, you probably didn't let it rest long enough, I'll go, oh, okay, you know what you're talking about. What if it's like, oh, it's bad? It's like, well, why? You know, and it's And so when I talk to the producers, or even when I meet new breweries and I turn down business, I want to be able to say why I turn them down. Whether it's, you know, the quality, and then I can elaborate and say, you know, maybe think about doing this a little bit more and a little less of this, or just letting it rest longer. Because like, there are off flavors that'll kind of say, you know, why the beer went the way it did. Whether it's like, you know, and umami, which is like a meaty flavor, and that's not always the best. Or, you know, acetaldehyde, I had mentioned that, and that's a green apple flavor. So you don't want to taste green apples in a beer, because that's an imperfection. But what's good about that imperfection is you can say, cool, I taste acetaldehyde, I get the green apples, this is where you went wrong in the brewing process based upon that off flavor. You know, there's diacetyl, there's all these other flavors that you can get, you know, whether it's like the corn, the butter, there are tons of off flavors, and even not even just off flavors, but just wrong flavors for certain styles. Like if you like Hefeweizens, like having a bubblegum coriander banana taste is perfect. That's how it should be because of the yeast. But then if you have that same taste in a Pilsner, it's like probably wrong, depending on what style Pilsner. Like I mentioned butter being an off flavor. It's an off flavor in most every single beer. However, a Czech Pilsner, it's okay. You want butter in that beer because that's what's stylistically true. So yeah, you look at things a little bit more intensely, and like I've been studying for credentials in this industry. Like right now I'm working on my certified specialist of spirits, and it's more, again, so I can speak more intelligently about spirits. I come from a beer background, so when I look at all the different distilleries I work with, I work with 5 right now, which is awesome, but I want to be able to speak to them on their level, and even it goes to service to my guests in my the bars and restaurants I work with. I want to be able to answer their questions intelligently, but also speak on their level, because I think that's something that's really appreciated. I've met some wine guys that they speak above my head, and it's like I actually know wine very well now, so I just let people go because they want to feel special and intelligent, and it's, I don't know, I think you gotta look at the crowd you're talking to. Like if I talk to either of you guys about beer, I'd talk on your level. That's it. I'm not gonna say acetaldehyde and assume you understand what that off flavor is. That's why mentioning it's green apples is important. But there's something to be said if you can speak on the level of the audience you're speaking to, and that's a really important thing. And that just makes, serving the guests better. You build better relationships. It all works out pretty well.
Right. And one thing that Al was actually recently, in Ascension, we do these small business crawls. And one of the places that he took myself and the other folks that were with us was a restaurant there on Mass Ave. And I'm going to let him talk about this, but there was a really interesting beer that he shared with us that we're referring to as Weasel Butt, but I'm going to have him kind of describe it a little bit more. And once he does that, I'm kind of curious as about what some of your more unusual kind of stories are with the different beers that you've known about.
Yeah
So anything Weasel Butt, huh? So
Weasel Butt.
Yeah, so this was Rooster's Kitchen on north end of Mass Ave. So if you don't know Ross,
I know Ross very well.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So he has the one beer in there that has I think it's Kopi Luwak or Kopi Luwak, however you say it.
Yeah, and the coffee beans.
Yeah, the coffee beans that go through the weasels. Yeah, so now it's weasel poop coffee beer. But it's freaking awesome beer. So I'm a fan. I think I bought all of his bottles, I believe.
Right on. Yeah, I think McKellar made one like that. And I Weasel Brunch is what it was called. But yeah, it was that weasel coffee. Yeah, I understand where you're going. It's I think a lot of times you have to do something really kind of interesting at this point. When you look at Indiana right now, I mean, there's 138 breweries in Indiana, different breweries. And then some of those breweries have multiple locations. And I want to say you're looking at 168 at that point for the people that have multiple locations. Distilleries, there's at least 20 wineries. I think 91 was the count last time I looked. So you have all these different producers. Mm-hmm. You have to do something different because, whether it's wine, I'm sure everyone in Indiana has Treminet as one of their wines because that's the state grape of Indiana. And that's a hybrid grape of the Gewurztraminer, which is a German white. So that's another topic for another day. But yeah, when you look at all the different breweries, there's everyone does an IPA. People probably do multiple IPAs. So why is your IPA better than the next person's, or what makes your beer interesting? Well, cool, weasel coffee. And it makes it pop a little coffee. Bit. Yeah. yeah. And it's, you got to stand apart a little bit. Like, Moonlight Meadery out of New Hampshire. They were Meadery of the Year in 2015. It's like, cool, that's an awesome name. I'm so fortunate I work with great producers like that. But, you know, their meads have fun stories. They're highly rated, so that helps them stand out. But then they release fun ones like... there was a one that just came out recently that has African honey in it, and it's actually organic. So to get that, you know, they had to check for 60-mile radius around the beehives to make sure all the flowers were organic. And it's the story that sells it. So, you know, having something unique about the product and, I think it's kind of like, I mean, Ivory Stout from, Brewlink, that's kind of interesting, or, yeah, Broken Beaker, that's one of the distilleries. So you mentioned Mass Ave and Broken Beaker. I work with them. They made Thomas, Thomas is good, and his wife Heather is good. Waisaki, people. They made a coffee liqueur, and it's actually the only coffee liqueur. Good, it's only coffee liqueur in Indiana with dairy in it. A lot of distilleries would not dare do that because dairy is a tough thing to put on the shelf. But because of Thomas and his wife's background at Lilly, they had the science to figure it out.
Yeah, he's a chemist and she's an engineer.
It's a great relationship that they have, and you know their background in science. You know, it helped do this, and you know they use Hubbard and Craven's coffee. So you're like, oh, cool, I know Hubbard and Cravens, and they've done a great product. It's a phenomenal distillery, but you got to do something different at the end of the day. Scarlet Lane, they do a style called a Braggot, and a Braggot's a beer with honey in it. So it's a unique, different style. Not many people have a Braggot that they do. And so it goes to standing out, and, you know, whether it's the beer should speak for itself, or the tap handles, or the artwork, like Danny Boy from West Clay, they have some cool artwork. You know, their Mexicali just came out yesterday. They actually just canned it yesterday, and has like a sugar skull that has the Irish flag into it. So it's kind of a fun thing. Look it up sometime. But yeah, beer should speak for itself, and it should create a dialogue. You know, you talk about the weasel beer again. Like it's one of those unique weird things that you're like, oh man, try weasel shit coffee.
But it's so good.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I mean, go to Roosters and you can get kombucha from them. They have kombucha on draft, and I work with Circle City Kombucha, who they do a growler fill station there, so you can get growlers of kombucha there, which is kind of fun. And it's a pretty cool thing. And Ross has a really unique restaurant. He's been open less than a year now, I think. Yeah, actually, I know he's been open less than a year, but his year is coming up within the next couple months, I'm sure.
Another question that I have, based on all this that you were just saying, is: are there any places that are making mead in Indiana on a regular basis?
Yes. I am so thankful for Brett and Tia at New Day Meadery, because they've made my job immensely easier when it comes to speaking about Moonlight Meadery. I want to say they started in Elwood, and if I'm wrong, please correct me on social media. New Day started up there, and they're in Fountain Square right now. Mm-hmm. They do phenomenal ciders and meads. Breakfast Magpie, I mean, all day long I would drink that. It's a espresso blackberry mead. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. Yell at me on social media, Brent and Tia. But because they set the footwork for me, I mean, it becomes a lot easier of a discussion. Or normally when I mention mead to bars and restaurants, they're like, oh, like New Day, and I go, exactly. Yeah, and I love Brent and Tia, and Tia gives good hugs, so you can go catch her at New Day and go get a hug. And
get a hug. Hugs are for you.
Yeah, right. And she's just good people. I like her. She has I'll do a plug for one of the events that New Day's booking. It's called Meadful Things. It is pretty much a bunch of different meaderies and meadful things, as the name would suggest. And it's a giant festival. Tia puts it on. It is actually going to happen September 2nd. So check out, look up Meadful Things. It's going to be September 2nd. I'll be there on behalf of Moonlight Meadery, pouring some pretty unique meads. But it's a market that I don't think has expanded too quickly yet. Indiana has a few different mead producers, but, you know, Brett and Tia are definitely the forerunners.
Well, something I'm curious about is the actual process. I mean, I love that you like me, you have a company that is new and unlike a lot of other things that are out there. And so it does catch people off guard, and you have to explain yourself quite often. So by all means, explain away what your process is and get it out there. Maybe that'll help you.
Yeah. You know, when people are like, you know, what's Quick and Dirty? What is Monon Beverage? And to answer that, it's, you know, Monon Beverage provides sales, events, and distribution management. That's the most simplistic what I am. And a lot of times it's, you know, my day to day, I go visit bars and restaurants and package stores, and I talk up my producers and I get sales and I give them to the distributor. And that's the most simple way to describe what I do. I do events. I help out. A lot of my job is education. I think that's kind of where it boils down to, because a lot of times it's educating potential venues about the product, and then they go, oh, you know, I think I would like to try that, and I try them on, and either they love it or they don't. And I really have never had anyone that just does not love something. It's just like, well, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I try and, before I work with someone, I try and vet their products and make sure it is good quality product, because anyone that I work with, I would hate for a subpar product to bring the rest of the group down, the rest of the team I work with. So I very carefully make sure that the product's good. I try and even brew or distill with, just so I can know how their process is. And, you know, Scarlet Lane, 2 months ago, I got to start brewing with Elise at 5 a.m. and we just kind of went at it. And, you know, it was a good thing. I got to bond with her a little bit more and learn more about why Scarlet Lane is who they are. But, you know, having a hand in the product, I get to see it. I have better stories to tell. I'm an educator. I'm a storyteller. I want people to know why these products are good, because again, there's 138 breweries in Indiana. Why is your IPA any better than anyone else's? And, you know, it goes down to the stories. And so, yeah, I try and get as close with the producers as I can, because it's a good relationship to have. It builds a stronger connection. It gives me more of an emotional investment in seeing them do well. Obviously, I want everyone I work with to do well, because that means they work with me for longer. But, you know, it's when things aren't moving well, if I'm as connected with some of the producers as I am, like I get disheartened. It's tough. It's one of those things where I'm like, man, you know, I got to try harder. And, you know, hiring Scott was a big part of that, because I was like, I can serve people so much better if I just had extra people on the streets. And so it's service. You know, I want to be able to serve my guests as best as I can, you know. And a lot of times I'll even kind of leave the end of a meeting with a new person is, you know, what can I do to serve your team better? It's asking these questions helps me become better, and being able to really just kind of open myself up. It's a big thing I've learned to do this year, being in business for myself, and, you know, sending surveys out anonymously to my producers and saying, hey, let her rip, you know. I can't track who's responding, so, you know, be honest. What can I do to be better for you? What can Monon do to be better? And I actually need to send one of those out soon, because adding Scott to the mix, it, you know, hopefully that helps give more potential for us to serve people better. Or I'm curious. I'm curious what the producers think that I work with. Ideally, 2 feet on the street is better than just me, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's cool. I know one of the toughest things that business owners go through is trying to figure out what their menu price is. So I'm curious what your process was, or still is, as it evolved, with how do you find a way to make a living and make a difference at the same time?
Yeah, it's, you know, when I look at all the opportunity, I'm very inexpensive to the producers I work with, because I'm a fixed cost, and the producers share the cost of a rep, essentially. So it's, you know, you can get a full-time sales rep, and you can pay them 50 a year, 40 a year, whatever it may be. But when you look at what I do, it's like, cool, he's inexpensive, he gets results, and he has 2 people. So whenever a producer works with me, it's like, hey, I got 2 people. So one person's a full time and the other's just like a back burner thing where, you know, if they're out and they see an opportunity, like, although Scott's working with Brewlink and Danny Boy, not exclusively, but that's his main focus is at the moment. You know, I've told him, I was like, yeah, you know, if you see opportunity for like Broken Beak or Indiana Whiskey or Bear Wallow or any of the distilleries or Scarlet Lane or Deer Creek, you know, let me know. We'll create leads for each other. So, and same for me. Like when I see opportunity for Danny Boy and Brewlink, I field him a quick text or I put it in our CRM and I say, hey, check this out. It's becomes from a cold call to lukewarm or maybe a hot. I don't know. It works well. So, I mean, it goes back to serving people better. And, you know, even, he lives on the west side out in Plainfield. And, if ever something's wrong on that side of town, he can be there in 30 minutes and handle it. I can be downtown Indy in 30 minutes. If Ross at Roosters called me and said, hey, I got a draft issue, I'd be there and I'd try and figure it out. I mean, I'm savvy enough with draft systems. I can help out enough with it. And so, I'm small potatoes. You know, there's distributors out there that are huge and that have teams of service. And, you know, as the middleman's middleman with Monon, you know, I can't always be everywhere and I can't take care of everyone 100% like these big distributors. However, you know, I can call people on Fridays and just see how they're doing. And, you know, I think even getting invested where it's like I can call someone up and say, oh, hey, how's your dog doing? Like, as weird as that is, like, no, you can call them up. Even like I send thank you cards out to people periodically because I truly do appreciate the people that help support me. If it wasn't for the Rooster's Kitchens of the worlds or the Hopkets, the Pint Rooms, all these venues that have always supported me, even Party Pack, you know, ever since I've started doing sales, like there's just been these consistent places that always support me. And so I want to take care of them. It's become friendly and like friends at the end of the day where I'll go out and I'm not much of a golfer, but, you know, I'll take people golfing or I'll take them shooting because, like, I think anyone can shoot a gun pretty okay. It's a little less skill. It's more dangerous than golfing. But, getting to know people on more of a personal level, I think that's where Monon kind of takes off a little bit further than a distributor that, you know, their turnover with employees is it's more frequent. When I hired Scott, I was like, you know, I want this to be a long-term thing and I want you to be able to help me grow. I want you to tell me when I'm doing something wrong and question me, you know, don't just be a dick and be like, hey, listen here, that's stupid what you're doing, you know, question it and say, hey, why does Monon do things this way? Why does our team act this way? And, you know, being able to answer that question for him and say, hey, this is why, or, you know, do you have a better opportunity, a more efficient way for us to act or a more efficient anything or a better way to serve people? Let me know. And so he's been really great at asking questions. And, you know, I started using a CRM because of him. I wanted to be able to communicate better with him and just, again, it goes back to serving our producers and serving the venues we work with. It's important to me, being able to take care and build those relationships with people.
Yeah. So is your range a region, all of Indiana, or have you inside, outside, any
kind of area? Yeah, sweet spot for me is the central nine counties, okay. You know, the donut for all purposes. Sure. But then, yeah. You know, I lived in Muncie for 8 years. That's a wonderful place for me. I love going home and seeing old friends. Like, I mean, I bartended at the Ferrat for 4 years, and that's where I cut my teeth and kind of got into this industry, and that's what started all of this. Or, you know, Lafayette's a good college town in Bloomington, and South Bend's good. Even Evansville. Evansville's growing, and Jeffersonville, and all the different parts of the state. But when it comes to, like, the grade A service, you know, I've let everyone know outside of the central nine counties, I'm like, I'll be there for you, and my phone's always on, you know, call me if you need anything, but I can't guarantee I'll be here once every other week like I'm trying to do within the central nine counties. A lot of the people are very receptive to that, and it's just being transparent. I think that's the best thing I can try and offer is, you know, with our relationships with whomever I'm working with, I'm transparent. You know, I want to let you know where I'm going to be, and I'll keep you in the loop. And if you have questions, or, you know, some of the producers I've worked with, or even some of the bars and restaurants, you know, we have like open couch policies where they can come and crash on my couch whenever. And some, it's just like, you know, it's those people you've been working with for years. Like, actually was up in Kokomo last night at the Coterie and see my friend Kyle, who runs that. And, he'll be down in Indy for an event soon. I was like, yeah, you know, my bed's open. You can take over my bed and I'll take the couch, or, you know, my house is an open place for people. So it's, and that's because we've known each other for a while now. It's like, you know, we just kind of built that friendship, and he supports me in the beer. And, you know, I held a meeting up there because it was like, cool, let me support you up in Kokomo. And his new menu's phenomenal. So if you're in Kokomo or you want to go to South Bend or whatever you're doing, stop off at the Coterie. So, yeah.
Yeah. So another topic that we had talked about before was the core values of your company and things like that. So tell me how that fits into your daily routine.
Right. Because really, I mean, from my perspective, you know, you're talking about beer and alcohol, and, you know, it makes sense for me that every kind of business has to have, you know, certain core values. But on the other side, you're talking about it's like beer, alcohol. Who needs values? So yeah, I'm pretty interested in this myself.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting. You know, I with hiring Scott, like I looked at everything I could do to be successful, and, you know, I have my own internal values, and someone was like, you know, what's your mission statement? And do you have it wrote down somewhere? Is it somewhere where you can see it every day? And I was like, no, I don't actually. Like, well, why is Monon? And I was like, and so like that resonated with me having just a conversation, and it was, I can't remember who it was. I'll have to figure it out. I'll have to go through my emails one day, but, it was a very interesting thing that kind of started me moving towards that direction of thinking about what my core values were as a business and how does that align with my personal values. And I mean, they're pretty much the same at the end of the day, just different titles to them. Like, a big part about what I do is, you know, being able to provide service and have relationships with people. That's very important because I'm not who I am without the people around supporting me, whether it's the bars, the restaurants, the producers. You know, I really do take to heart when I talk to producers that I work with, and I say, you know, how can I be better for you? And I try and listen, and I think the relationships I've developed because of trying to serve people as best I can has just been phenomenal. Even after with Scarlet Lane, I was working with them for 2 months, and they were like, hey, we're having a Christmas party at our home. Do you want to come to it? And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. That's, it was such a warm and welcoming feeling. And you know, that warms my heart. So it's like, you know, I'm doing something right in business, being able to build relationships with the people I work with for them to invite me to their home for their company Christmas party. And it's, little things like that. It's just really nice, being able to collaborate with people. I mean, that's kind of a part of it too, where it's like, you know, I want to build those relationships. I want to be able to, come to you and work with you on projects together, whether it's brewing beer, you know, finding an opportunity in the market. I can, like the kombucha producers, we had a big meeting this morning. It's like, well, where's their opportunity? You know, what are we doing well? How can we collaborate with the venues and like Rooster's Kitchen? You know, what can we do for Ross to serve him better on the feel good soda aspect of the business? And so being able to do that, and even just the community I'm in, I think that's a big part. When I left Muncie, I moved to Noblesville, where my family is, because, I mean, family's huge as a personal core value, but, you know, community too. What can I do in the community of Noblesville or even Hamilton County at a greater end? And what can I do for them to kind of not just be a business owner, but be a part of the community? And part of it's, you know, talking with the Chamber of Commerce, who I've had a great relationship with since moving back from Muncie. The president of the chamber, Bob, is he's been a mentor for me for a while now, so I know I can go talk to him, and I can bring him beer, and we'll sit and talk for a little bit. And he's been pretty helpful, where it's like, you know, I can talk to him and say, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And even if he has questions for me, like, you know, what about this? What about this? We can kind of bounce ideas around, because obviously my peers are different than his peers since we're different age groups. But yeah, it's you know, being able to give back. Like, I'm happy to own a business, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not just in it to make a bunch of money. And it's me being able to figure out how I can continue relationships and grow with my community, grow with the producers I work with. I had a big meeting again this morning, even one last night, just talking with different producers and saying, you know, how can we grow together? And that's it's a very important thing back. I mean, it circles back to relationships. I mean, if there's one core theme, I think looking at, you know, how to build positive relationships with different people in your life becomes a very important thing, whether it's, you know, peers like us connecting after following up on a podcast that was 84 episodes ago, or, you know, any little thing like that. It's your network's important to you. So being able to build relationships with a network, whether it's in your industry or outside of your industry, it's a lot of beneficial things to be said about that.
You get involved with the Brewers Guild and things like that. Has that been great leverage point for you?
I wouldn't even call it a leverage point. The president of the guild and I met several years ago through the Hurrah, and he was at a different brewery at the time as one of the co-owners. And when I thought about hiring Scott, I called up the guild and I was like, "Hey guys, I'm thinking about doing this thing, and it's going to be an Indiana brewery-based position." And they were like, cool, let's sit and talk a little bit, because we like that, because a lot of our core goals and even our what we're trying to accomplish are the same things. You know, when we look at education, you know, beer, it's just, we aligned really well. And so I actually work with the guild, and mm-hmm. any of the new members, or, you know, working on getting more cool things to the beer fest that happen, I get to help them with that. So it's kind of fun. I get to reach out to new producers and say, "Hey, you know, Brewers Guild's here for you. Let us know what we can do for you." And it's kind of funny you mentioned the guild, because they're really, it's actually a really helpful thing. Especially like, I'm one of the affiliates. So, you know, I'm tied into all these other service providers, which is nice, but being able to, you know, reach out to new service providers who may be, someone that can benefit the breweries. It goes back to serving the breweries, even, you know, what, maybe they need someone to help with payroll, or maybe they need other options. Maybe they need a lawyer. Maybe they need insurance providers. It's a cool thing. So being able to look at what different services can better serve the breweries, and calling those people up and saying, "Hey, let me tell you about the guild. Let me tell you about what we can do together. Let's collaborate a little bit. Let's educate. Let's serve people." I mean, there's the core values in a full circle again.
Yeah, certainly. It's pretty cool. So what do you think the future of your company is? What's Monon going to be like for the rest of 2017, shooting into 2018, so on?
That's a tough question. It's always tough.
I love tough question.
No, you're good. No, it's always funny. Like when I get asked that question, like there's an article in the Times like 2 days before my first sales day, and they asked me that question, like, "What's Monon look like for the rest of the year?" And I was like, "In business, hopefully." it was a funny thing, and I'm so thankful again the community supported me back. But it was one of those weird things. It was like, I actually haven't even done a sales day yet. My first sales day's in a couple of days. I'm really excited. In business. That's the goal. I feel good about it. I think hiring Scott was a big part of my business growing, and he's going to help it grow too. But you know, I think one of the goals, I want to incorporate Indiana Wine. I'm not going to lose track of who I'm already with. But I think being able to bring a third person onto my team, so there's me and two others, and having him or her work with Indiana wineries, I think there's something to be said for that coming up.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. I've had opportunity to look at like a Monon, Ohio or Monon, Kentucky type deal. So again, things I never thought about or thought I wanted when I was registering with the state back in July last year. But there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, Monon turns one in October. So like, I'm really excited for that. And it actually, Monon's first day was October 1st. My birthday is on the 4th. So like, I'll have a week long celebration, I think, for my business and for myself. I'm actually more hyped for my business turning one than I am for turning 29. So it's kind of a fun thing. Like I'm really excited. Like Monon's been my child. I've been able to help watch it grow, and I guess not even watch it grow, but push it to grow. And it's Yeah, there's just tons of exciting things. I think as I get more comfortable in the day-to-day operations, I look at other opportunities, you know, what can I do to better serve the community around me, or what can I add to my business and value added to the producers I work with? And I work with some out-of-state breweries like Arcadia and O'Fallon, and, you know, wanting to see how I can serve them as they aren't as close to me. You know, it's a little more difficult working for someone geographically further away. However, you know, it's how can I better take care of them at the end of the day? And yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces with my business. It's kind of a cool thing. And my network has just grown immensely because of all the different pieces. But it just goes back to, you know, for the rest of the year, I guess, and even 2018, in business, that's what it looks like. I think it's as simple as it is. I want to make sure that I can provide a good lifestyle for for Scott. You know, I didn't want to bring someone in and ruin their life. And like, I kind of joked about that when I was first going on, because people were like, "Oh, why are you going solo?" And I was like, "Well, I'd rather ruin my own life than ruin someone else's life with a failed business."
Yeah.
And you know, there's truth and jest with that. But it was like, cool, I feel good, so I brought someone else in because I feel good about it. And I would never try and bring someone in if it wasn't going to be a good, almost for sure thing. I mean, things can happen. There's always hiccups that come along the road. But yeah, in business, I think that's a cool thing that I'm looking at for the rest of the year. I want to travel a little bit. I'll go out to Moonlight Meadery in the fall, and I'll hang out with them. I'll make mead for the first time, so that's kind of exciting. I've never made it, but yeah, I'll go out there and I'll hang out with them and get to meet them face to face and hang out with Michael and Ben and all the good people at Moonlight. So yeah, it'll be a fun thing.
Cool. Yeah, very cool.
Cool. So as we're closing out the show here, got rapid fire questions segment, and I know you're familiar with this, even though it was 84 sessions ago.
I actually forgot about it until now, but now like bad memories are coming up where it's like I couldn't answer your questions.
The first one, since we did ask the influencer and the teacher one the first time around, first one is actually, what are three movies that you'd recommend to other creatives?
Cool. I would recommend, I liked Looper a lot. I don't know, that just came to mind really quick. That was fun with Bruce Willis and, oh geez, I don't know, just check it out. Bruce Willis,
the three-name guy.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, there it is. Thank you. yeah, so that was a cool one. Split. So they're I can't even say why. Just watch Split. You'll understand. There's a connection. I can't say why though between those two, but I don't want to ruin movies for people. But I think it was just a unique, thoughtful movie. And even the Lobster. I don't know if you guys ever saw that one. It was
heard about it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It was a very thought provoking.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah. I think just from like a it makes you think kind of movies. It was kind of fun. I liked a lot of those kind of make you think movies. And I mean, I also like zone out movies. Like, again, like I said, Talladega Nights earlier in this interview. But like, you know, there's a time and place for all movies. It just depends what you get into. So yeah, it's Looper, Split, and whatever I said, Blast. The Lobster. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. So what's the hardest thing you've ever had to say no to?
I think starting this business and telling a potential client no. It's scary starting a business, and when someone comes to you and says, "We want to pay you to do the job that you created the business for," and having to say no to that for quality reasons, for ethical reasons, for, you know, sometimes I just maybe my personality conflicts with someone else's, or someone else's conflicts with me. And, you know, everyone I work with, I want to be able to collaborate and have like good flow with. But I think being a young business and turning down money, it's a weird thing, because it's like people coming to me and saying, "Oh, I want to work with you," and I'm like, "Well, okay, let's try your beer. Where'd you come from? How do you do it? How is it made?" And no, I gotta say no to some people at the end of the day. And then it just, you know, I think Scott said it one day, and it was kind of like, cool, that's a good point, where he's like, you know, the more you say no to people, there's something to be said for that, because you can kind of say, you know, I have a standard, and I do, sure. Very much so. You know, if any of the people I work with don't have the similar values as I do, whether it's personal life values or business values, you know, I can't do that. I couldn't work with someone whose values don't kind of align, or, you know, whose overall business goal doesn't align with mine. So saying no to business partner potentials is a scary, tough thing, but I'm better off for it, because it shows that I value where my company goes, and I value all the other people I already work with.
Good deal. What is something you wish was still a thing?
Pagers.
Pagers. Why is that?
I was actually looking at where to buy a pager the other day, because I thought it'd be kind of funny to, like, no one uses pagers anymore, and I think, like, that'd be a really weird standout thing I could do, and, like, I'd make Scott wear a pager. Scott's in his young 40s, mid-40s, and I think making him look like an old man would be funny, and I'd use a pager too. But like, all the, I started looking up, like, where to get pagers, and like, a lot of them were like, they were CD web pages that go for like hydroponics, and it was drug dealer web pages. it was a weird thing, but I think having a pager would just be kind of, I don't know, it'd be a weird, unique thing, and people be like, oh yeah, Monon, those are the guys with pagers, right?
Yeah. Do you have a phone bank?
Yeah, right.
Do you have a bank of phones?
I just think it'd be like one of those weird things to bring back. I don't know if I wish it was a thing, but I think it'd be a unique, fun thing to bring back in style. Tool. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a concert the other day, and there's two, the drummer and the singer both had big noses, so they sold nose keychains, and they had toothbrushes also for sale. Just weird thing for a band to have, but it's stuff that sticks out.
Yeah.
Well, you're not the only one that said that that answer to that, but I think the other reason, what the other person said, and I forget who it was on the show, but they had said that the reason that they would want pagers again is so that they don't feel like they're constantly having to be tied to their phone and their email all day too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
I just want it for selfish reasons, because I think it'd be fun. Mm-hmm. So maybe next time I'm on the podcast, you can page me to get my attention, and then I'll respond to your page.
Put 911 in there.
Oh, no, emergency. No, don't do that, because then I'll have like a weird emergency from no one knows. And then the emergency is just, hey, we need you on the podcast. I'll go, cool. Yeah. Glad everyone's good.
So what's one thing that you believe that all high school students must know?
Take advantage of every opportunity, I think, whether it's, you know, an internship or, you know, LinkedIn's cool because it's that networking tool. I wish I knew about that in college, earlier in my college career. I picked it up my last year of college, but I think networking's huge. You never know who you're going to end up getting in business with, or who knows who. Use your network to meet new people, and don't be afraid of meeting new people or even old people. Like, I think it's one of those weird things. Like, this year's my 10th year high school reunion, and it's a weird, scary thing, because it's like, wow, you know, graduated high school 10 years ago, and all these different people who I really didn't talk to are going to be in the same room. And, you know, I think if I had networked better, maybe it would be easier to go to things like that. I'm still an outgoing introvert, make sure you keep your network up to date and make new friends. There's some events I go to that are only so I can just meet new people and try and learn something new.
Yeah, that first reunion is definitely interesting. It'll be a good experience just for you to go and be like, huh, well, that didn't work out the way I expected it to, but yeah.
Right, yeah, it'll be fun. Like, there are going to be some people I'm excited to see, and then, like, I think most of them I don't remember, just because I had a smaller group of friends, and then like I've connected with everyone to an extent. It'll be fun to reconnect and see what everyone's up to, because there's some people I just haven't stayed connected with at all, like via Facebook, right. And that's the easiest way to know what people are up to. So, yeah.
Right. How can someone be a difference maker in their community?
Asking questions. Just ask. Go talk to your local chamber. Go talk to local business owners. Go talk and ask questions. Meet people. Find opportunities. Like, you know, my relationship with the Chamber of Commerce is great because they've said, hey, you know, this is stuff we're looking at doing, or you know, being able to just be involved to some extent. And if the question comes up of, you know, what do you think about this new opportunity, or even asking, is this an opportunity? Has this been explored before? The worst thing someone's going to tell you is no. I mean, they might tell you to fuck off, but that's like extreme at that point. So, but that almost saves you more time if someone tells you that. So then you don't have to waste time. But ask questions, find opportunity, and find ways to just better the community. Don't just live somewhere, but you know, if you can participate in a group, or you know, pick a piece of trash up off the ground, like as small of a thing as that is, you help better your community by not just walking past the empty Coke can on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Nice. If someone was wanting to be a broker outside of the Indy area, what would you say their first steps would be?
Ask questions again, you know, find people who've done it before, come to me possibly. I'm happy to share my travel, because, you know, it was a weird, tough thing getting it going. There were a lot of weird red tapes with the state, just because it's alcohol industry. So there's a lot going on with it. But yeah, if someone wants to learn how to be a broker, you know, I'll be growing my team more. I mean, they can reach out to me personally via my webpage, www.mononbeverage.com, or even follow me on social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I'm just at mononbeverage. Finding an opportunity and finding a need. I mean, there's tons of great producers in this industry that just need a little bit of love in the streets, and you can get them moving a little quicker. All of my producers have been that way, where they make really awesome product. They need a little extra love in the market. And, ask questions again. That's the easiest. If ever someone's curious, especially someone that's out of state, I'm happy to talk to them even more so, because the more I can, grow my footprint, the better I can serve the people I work with.
Awesome. Well, Sean, definitely a pleasure having you on. And again, if people want to find out, your website was mononbeverage.com, right?
Correct.
All right, man. Again, pleasure, and take care, bud.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, everyone, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Sean. Again, I'm aware that this was a ton of beer talk, and, you know, a lot of which was over my head even. And, you know, I think the main thing that I pulled out of this one is build really good relationships. But, man, Sean is definitely into his geekery. And you know what? Every industry needs its experts. And I think that Sean is doing some great work with his interests and skills. Also, it seems that several co-working spaces that have been here to an Indy have their own brew. Sun King in particular seems to be pretty popular at the speakeasy. So perhaps there's a sub niche right there for someone to get into. Co-working space brew distributors. I don't know, but you know, that's the thing about being a creative, is that you can literally make any gig or job you want, and you just have to make sure that it pays for your livelihood. Anyway, don't forget, you can find Sean via the show notes at newinceptions.com/93. In the show note extras this week, I got a few videos with him, and in the first video, he's talking about Moonlight Meadery. You might remember that I asked if there was any good meads that he'd recommend in the show, and well, there you go. The second video is his best attempt at being the Old Spice guy at a local recovery center called A Better You Wellness. And he talks about another mead called Wild. And next up is an interview on the Blind Pig Confessions podcast. And finally, the last video is an interview with the Indiana On Top podcast. What's funny is that This was filmed in the same place that we have our local indie podcast meetup group, and it's called Creative Zombie Studios, which Brad Shoemaker put together. So pretty cool stuff. But yeah, thanks again for joining us today. Really appreciate it. We'd love hearing from you guys. And if you can send us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com with any questions you have or comments about the show, go for it. I really appreciate those iTunes reviews. If you're listening to us on your desktop, you can visit newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. Using the podcast app on your iPhone, simply hit the reviews tab and add your own review there. And if you know you're not using iTunes, you can feel free to leave your reviews on a SoundCloud or wherever you're listening to it. I really appreciate those reviews and helps the show get out there to other people. If you want to get connected with Sean directly or any of our past guests or other listeners, other members of the team, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. You can go to it directly by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And then in next week's show, we have an interview with an up-and-coming online entrepreneur by the name of Hector Santi Esteban. Hector originally had his start through direct marketing and winning several awards in the process. He's now taking that knowledge into the online world, like so many of us have. And his site is called Millennial Skills. And it's all about teaching millennials how to be more self-sufficient in building their business. In my opinion, you really can't be in too many of these groups on Facebook. Yes, you have to pick a couple to be able to actually contribute to, but you never know what kind of tidbits those different communities are going to drop. So if you do find one of those groups useful, make sure that you do contribute to them, you know, and heck, it might actually make you look good in the process. But to make sure that that interview comes out next week, all you have to do is go to the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. So that's it for session 93. Don't forget to check out ClickFunnels by going over to newinceptions.com/ClickFunnels, 14-day trial over there. And yeah, I appreciate you for joining Albert, Sean, and myself today. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. We'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.